The United States of America. The United States of America. There's a lot in that statement. There's a lot of individuals in that statement. And if we look at the demographics of the United States of America, we start to see that there's over 331,449,281. I don't think they counted Bo yet. So 282 people in this country. 31 million plus people in this country. If the United States of America has people, it's the people that are here. Inside of that people that are here, there's households. And if you look at the statistics on households in 2019, there was 120,756.48 households that made up that those 331 million people lived inside of a household of some sort. And we can see in 2020 that it went up by 8 million households, another 8 million households. It's projected that by the end of this year, we'll have 132 million households in this country. Now, I understand that the population goes up too. I get that. But this morning, I want to talk about the households. The households, 3 to 8 million households are added every single year. Every single year, we're getting 3 to 8 million new households. Somebody is setting up camp. Somebody is moving into a new household. So there's the four walls that are going together, and somebody is going to step into that. In Altoona, we see households, 18,846 households in Altoona, and some of you are part of those households. In Hollidaysburg, we can see 2885, and in Martinsburg, 2256, and Roaring Spring, 2146, and East Freedom, 373 households. In Lloydsburg, 140 households. Boone Knob, 10 households. Santa's one of those, right? The North Pole stuff. But households that are being set up. Household is a huge word. There's a lot going on inside of the word household. There's life going on inside of a household. There is the adults that are living in that household. There's marriages that are going on inside of that household. There is parenting going on inside of that household. There are kids inside of that household. There are businesses being run from inside of that household. There is internal stuff that we bring into our household that's happening or being healed inside of that household. And there's external stuff coming through the door every single day. Households. And if you search Google for household, you'll end up with something like this. Put the picture up. You'll end up with something like this. You never just see a house. It's always you can see the inside of the house. If you search house, you'll get something from the outside. If you search household, it's always something where you can see what's going on inside of that structure. It's more than just a house. It's a household. It's what's going on inside the house. 132 million households that are going on. Something's going on inside of those houses as we speak right now. 132 million households in this country. And some days our households are run like a well-oiled machine. And other days push the button. And other days they're spewing oil all over the place. That's just the reality, right? Some days my household is, I can't believe that this. I get to live in this environment. And then the next day is like, how can I ever live in this environment? A lot going on inside of our households. As I talked with a young man this past week or so, wasn't last week, believe me, the weeks before that. And we were talking about this, and we're talking about our households, and we're talking about his goals and whatever else was going on. And by the end of the conversation, he made a very powerful statement. And he made this statement, pushed the button, he made this statement. I am not here to succeed in treading water. I'm here to swim in a direction. And he had come to the conclusion in that discussion that enough is enough. I'm not just going to survive this household. This household is going to be different because I'm swimming in a direction. How's your household? Does your household have direction? Are you endeavoring just to tread water, or you've got a direction that you're going in? How's your household? And the households in the United States are families, units, are singles, are all that is a household. How's your household doing? And you might think it's easier if you're a single person and you're living in your household. You might think it's easier than someone who has four or five people living in their household. They both have their challenges. So I ask you again, how's our household doing? How's your household doing? And I want to go to Psalm 139 this morning. And I want to read this morning and replacing me or my or I with us, our, and we. I want to read it as I'm reading it as the reading it as a household. And as I read through this, I want to give us four different truths that we need to stand on to build our household. Listen, this world is not going to build your household. It's up to us to build our households. You're one of those households, and what's going on inside of your household, that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want you to build your household. It's your responsibility. It's your privilege to build your household. Right now, I don't really care what's going on in the world. There's a lot of garbage going on in the world. And there's a lot that can get us distracted from building our households. And I'm not saying we don't need to be highly involved in those things that are going on in our world. And as we reach into our neighbors, and as we reach into the countries around us, as we reach into those that are displaced by horrific things around this world, as we reach into the lives of people around this world, that's awesome. That's not the goal this morning. We'll talk about that in the future, of how we reach the hurting and the ailing around this world, and how we be the light in Afghanistan, and how we be the light in Mexico, and how we be the light in our neighborhoods. But today, I just want to know if the lights are on in your household. And I want to read this Psalm 139 as if it's us, it's my household. And I want to give us four truths to stand on. And then I want to give us three actions to take inside of our house. And I think, regardless of what's going on in this world, these four truths and these three actions will make a difference in your household. No matter what's going on in this world, no matter what language you speak, no matter what's happening, these will build a solid household. Here we go. You have searched us. Speaking as a household, obviously. Lord, you know us. See, I want to start looking at our household and saying, family, get together, we're going to read this. God sees us. God's searching us. God, you know us. You know when we sit and when we rise. You know when we are having good days and when we are not having good days. You know when the oil is inside the crankcase and when the crankcase has been cracked and it's all over the place. You know those days, God. You know when we sit and when we rise. You've searched us. You know what's happening inside these four walls. You know what's happening in our household. And when we rise and you perceive our thoughts from afar, you discern our going out and our lying down, you are familiar with all of our ways. Before a word is on our tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. When you hem us in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon us, such knowledge is too wonderful for this household to attain. You know that this morning? God knows your household. You might be just one in a row of houses somewhere. You might be just one on Walnut Street in Roaring Spring. You might be just one in a trailer park someplace. You might be just one in an apartment building somewhere. You might just be one, but God knows your household. He knows when you're having a good day and when you're having a bad day. He knows that when you are sitting or when you're lying down. He knows. He knows that. And so number one truth that I want us to take away from here this morning is this. God knows what is going on inside your household. You know that this morning? God knows what's going on inside your household. He just does. He knows exactly what's going on inside your household. Your household is known by God. He knows exactly what's going on. He sees your household. He knows when it's going well, when the oil's right, and when the oil's all over. That's a truth that I want us to go back and just speak that into our households. I want you to take, even if you're a single person, I just want you to go back, and when you walk through the door, when you're the altar call for today's service is when you walk through your front door. And if it's just you and the rest of your family is not here, or if it's just you living in there, I just want you to open up the front door and I want you to say this: God, you know what's going on inside this household. You just know, God. That's a truth that we need to apply to our lives. That's a truth that we need to grab onto. That God is not unaware of what's going on inside of your household. He full on knows what's going on inside of your household. God knows what is going on inside this household. And I want us to get in the practice of saying that every single day. God, you know what's going on inside this household. Continuing in the passage, it says, where can we go from your spirit? Where can we flee from your presence? If we go up to the heavens, you are there. If we make our bed in the depths, you're there, God. Isn't that beautiful? I don't know about you, but I've been inside of my household throughout the years where I was sure that no one cared and no one knew. And I was in the dumps. I'll tell you what, I preached this message to myself. This wasn't last week's message rehashed to you, because I don't know where God will ever do with that message, but that's a way. This is the one that he preached to me all week. As I laid on my back trying to keep from having a headache, he said, I know what's going on inside your household right now. I know you're sick. I know the doctors are on vacation. I know that you're having a time that's not good. And I know when you rise on the wings of dawns, and if I settle on the other side, where can I go from your spirit, God? In verses 9 and 10 says this, if we rise on the wings of dawns, on the dawn, if we settle on the far side of the sea, even your hand will guide me, guide us there, God. No matter what, God, you'll guide us there. To me, that's beautiful, because it's not like, man, if you could just get it right, I will guide you. If you could just do enough things right, then you can earn my guidance. That's not what God is saying. He said, I'll guide you. No matter where you are. No matter how deep you're in it, no matter how solid your marriage is or isn't, no matter how well your kids behave or don't behave, no matter how well or sick you are, no matter what the neighbors are cussing each other, no matter what's going on in this world, look what he says in 11 and 12. If we say, surely the darkness will hide us, God, nobody will ever see us. Nobody gives a care about us. I'm only one of 132 million in this country. God said, I know, I see your household. Surely the darkness will hide us, and the light becomes night around us. You ever feel like that? Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Truth number two that I want you just to grab onto this morning is this: God's presence is in this household. Are you with me? God's presence. Not only does God know what's going on inside your household, but his presence is inside the household. I got smiley face stress balls. Because he turns graves into gardens. And this isn't one of the three action points I want you to take, but I want you to do this. Seek his presence before seeking his provision. I was challenged with that. You know, nobody has fixed that ceiling from when I laid on the couch during COVID. That ceiling still has a crack in it right over our couch. I'm thinking moving the couch. Because I'm not sure if I can fix the crack in our ceiling, but I can move the couch. And it's still there. And as I was surveying, either I had to listen to God or be aggravated with that crack in our ceiling. And God says, why don't you start seeking my presence before you seek my provision? Because I'm in your house. I know what's going on inside. A few verses I once saw. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners. Aren't you glad of that? You see, if we wrote that, good and upright is Ed, and if you get it right enough times, then he'll give you some instruction. That's not what God says. He said, you're all jacked up, and I'm in your home. I know what's going on inside of your household, and not only that, but I am there. I am inside your household, and I'm a good, good God, and I am upright, and you're not getting it right, I know. But I'm the one who instructs sinners. And the wages ago, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. He's a good, good God. Psalm 147 says this, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. He is an understanding God and he's in your house. Are you with me this morning? He's in your house. He's a good, good Father. And he's in the house. He's an understanding God, and he's in the house. As a matter of fact, his understanding has no limit. And he was ready to dispense that into your life. Psalm 18:28 says, oh, you, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. And I've written in my notes, our God is a table-turning God. God knows what's going on inside your house, and he's a table-turning God. He can take the darkness that's in your house right now, and he can turn the lights on right now. Seek his presence before you seek his provision, because he's a good, good God. Because he's a God who is understanding. Because he is a God who turns the table. And Psalm 86:15 says this, but you, O Lord, are merciful and gracious God, slow to anger, full of unfailing love and truth. That's who's in your house. Don't let the world or the thoughts in your mind or the weeds that you've grown in your mind to try to convince you that God doesn't know where your household is, that God doesn't know what's going on, and God is not in your household. He's a patient God. He's a table-turning God. He's an understanding God, and he is a good God. And Psalm 16 says this, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Because he is a stabilizing God, and he's in your house. He brought me into a spacious place, Psalm 18:19 says, and he rescued me because he delighted in me. Isn't that sweet? God's in your house, and know what? He likes you. We've had things in our house before that didn't really like being in our house. Like rabbits that the cat drug in, unharmed. The rabbit had no desire to be in our house. It didn't delight in our house. It wasn't delighting in our friendliness. God says, I delight in you. I am in your house, and I'm a stabilizing God, and I'm a patient God, and I'm a good, good God, and I'm a table-turning God, and I am in your house. verses 13 and 14 of Psalm 139 says this: "For you created our inmost being, you knitted us together in our mother's womb," or since the beginning of this household. You got, you're the one that knitted us together. You knitted us together since the beginning. We praise you because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Can you say that over your household? Can you say that when you go home and say, "God, you put this household together. I know you're here. I know you know what's going on inside this household. And you put it together, God." In Jesus' name, here we go as a household. Our frame was not hidden from you when we were made in the secret place, when we were woven together in the depths of the earth. Truth number three that I want us to stand on, push the button. God has woven together this household. This household is not thrown together. It is woven together. You can throw something together. You can't just throw something down and have it woven together. There's purpose in being woven together. There's purpose. And God says, "I have woven you together. I have woven you together." I have not thrown you together. You are amazing, household. You are here, God. Moving on in the scripture, it says this: "Your eyes saw our unformed body. All the days ordained for us were written in your book before one of them came into being." Do you believe that about your household? Because truth number four that I think we need to stand on this morning is God has a purpose for your household. Do you know that? Do you know that God has a purpose for your household? I'm trying, Chris. I'm trying to stay mostly pinned down here. God has a purpose for your household. His purpose. Do you want to know His purpose? He has a purpose for your household. Your household. Is your address Lloydsburg? You're one of the 140. Woo! We got two of the 140. And you got a purpose for it. Your household. The apartment building you live in is your household. He's got a purpose for that. And so the truths I think we need to stand on this morning are this. Push the button, please. I think we need to stand on God knows what's going on inside your household. He just does. And God's presence is in your household. And God has woven together this household. And God has a purpose for this household. Can we start seeing our households like God sees them and not how the world sees them? Four truths, three actions I think we need to take. We need to hang on. The action number one perhaps is just this. It's not one of the three. We got to hang on to those truths. We got to go home and say, "No way, enemy, you got no dominion over this household. You got nothing here because God has knitted this household together. God has a purpose of this household. God is here and He knows what's going on inside our household." Verse 17 in Psalm 139, continuing, "How precious to me, how precious to us are your thoughts, God!" Exclamation point. Are they precious to your household? How vast is the sum of them? Exclamation point. Were we to count them, they would outnumber the sand, grains of sand. When we awake, we are still with you. Do you know that God, wait a minute. Do you know that God thinks about your household? And not just the crack in the ceiling above your couch. At least you know we haven't moved our couch since May. God thinks about your household. God's thinking about your husband. God's thinking about your wife. God's thinking about your kids. God's thinking about your gift of singleness right now. God's thinking about you. God's thinking about your household. Push the button. This household will seek God's thoughts. See, I think that's an action point. If you got a ball so far, it says it says something like this, dot, 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 this household. That's a truth ball. So, and this is the action ball. It's this household, dot, dot, dot. So if I try to give you another ball, don't tell me you have one because you only got the truth ball. It's not time to be nice. I'll give it to someone in the back. I don't know if I got enough strength to run to the back a bunch of times today. We need a truth ball and we need an action ball. And this is an action ball. This household will seek God's thoughts. God thinks about you. God knows what's going on inside your household. God's presence is there. He's a good, good God, and He wants to lead you forward. God has woven you together. God's got a purpose for you, and He's thinking about that right now. And this household will start thinking about what God thinks about us and what God has for us. So here comes the action balls. An action. An action. An action. Moving on into Scripture says this. If only you, God, would slay the wicked away from us, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do we not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? We have nothing but hatred for them. We count them as enemies. You know what he's talking about there? He's not talking about your neighbor. He's talking about sin. Because sin will suck the life right out of your family. Sin will suck the life right out of your household. You start losing power when sin starts to suck the life out of you. Is God still there? Yes. Is God still thinking about you? Yes. Is God still got a purpose for your household? Yes. Does God still know what's going on inside of your household? Yes. But He wants us to take the action to deal with the sin. The sin that's in us is like black mold in our households. It's like carbon monoxide. I think we need a sin detector that when it goes in the house, all of a sudden you can say, beep, 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 and the whole family can run to one location and say, okay, what was that sin? Because we're going to deal with it right now because this household is not losing its life. We're going to deal with this sin, and we're going to deal with it now because I'm not giving any more blood. And let me just meddle here a little bit. I think we chuckle when Junior is disobedient or Junior-at is disobedient and throws a fit of anger. And I think we pass by the disobedience of even our toddlers or our kids and we feed into the selfishness of our household. It's our sin nature rebels against God. I don't care if you're 20 or if you're 2. I don't care if you're 50 or if you're 5. I don't care if you're 80 or you're 8. Sin sucks the life. Well, what do you want me to do with my kids? Are you advocating spanking? I am not advocating anything other than your family will take serious the sin at all levels in your house and start doing business with that and start praying and start modeling what it looks like, because you're helping your daughter, you're helping your son, you're helping your little one learn how to get victory over sin and say, we will not be disobedient in this household. We will not be angry in this household. We will learn how to deal with those things, because sin is not going to suck the life out of this household, and it's not going to suck the life out of other households when you become one of those other households. Am I making sense this morning? I have written in my notes here, it says, I agree, the sin of a dad has a greater ripple effect on the household than the sin of a toddler, but do not kid ourselves, sin is dangerous. And don't ever convince ourselves that sin is harmless. The action point that I think we need, number two, is this household will rise up against sin. Let God do that. Moving on in the passage, it says this. Search us, God. Search us, God. That's an action. You got a truth, and then you got an action. Search us, God. Search us, God, and know our hearts, and test us, and know our anxious thoughts. Can you imagine just having a family meeting, and something's not going right, and dad's laying on the couch half dead, and hypothetically... Ariana did ask me on Friday, she said, Pap, what was the best part about being sick? I was like, wow, now there's a new way to look at it. I said that Grammy's a great nurse. And she said, it's always good to have a wife that's a nurse. Wisdom of a 5-year-old. Yeah. Sometimes the household gets anxious, doesn't it? Can you imagine having a family meeting and just running out and saying, you know what, family, wait a minute. Wait a minute, family. Wait a minute, household. Wait a minute. There's some anxious thoughts in us right now. We need to seek God. Oh, sometimes I think we do that individually, but do we ever do it as a family? And you know what? I know that you're going to say, well, that kind of feels weird. It does feel weird because most households don't do it. Test us and know our anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in us. And then lead us. Lead us in the way everlasting. Action point number three this morning is this. Push the button. This household will be led by the way everlasting. I'm guaranteeing you that these four truths and these three action points will transform your house. And I'm guaranteeing you that these four truths and these three action points may be the hardest thing that you've ever done. God knows what is going on in your household. God's presence is in your household. God has woven together this household. God has a purpose for this household. This household will seek God's thoughts. This household will rise up against all sin. This household will be led by the way everlasting. Ooh, that's good stuff. Every household and every child will leave with one of those balls today. Because I'm looking to put a smile on our households. And I think this will do it. Let me change that. I know this will do it. Can you stand with me today? In Jesus' name, we can even come before you, Father. And Jesus, I know you hear me. I know the Spirit of God is on me. I feel Him leading me to just say, thank you, God. Thank you for seeing my household, seeing our household. Thank you for being present in our households. God, thank you for weaving this household together. Thank you for having a purpose for this household. God, help us to take the action steps of saying, you know what? I want to start thinking about this household like God thinks about this household. God, can you help us look less at the crack in the ceiling and more about what you're thinking about? I'm not sure you even care about that crack in our ceiling. And Father, I want us to think, our households to think like you think, God. Give us your thoughts. Help us to be hungry for how you think about us and our household. And Father, I do pray that we would deal with the sin at any level in our house and say, you know, enough is enough. It's not going to suck the life out of this household anymore. I'm not going to fight and get mean and ugly. I'm not going to be on the computer looking at unhealthy stuff. I'm not going to let something go by. I'm going to lovingly come alongside of somebody in this household, and we're going to do business with this sin. And this household will seek the way everlasting. Because if we don't seek the way everlasting, God, we will be caught up in the anxious thoughts. And I, for one, do not want to spend any more time thinking about anxious thoughts. God, I want to think about the way everlasting. So, Father, in Jesus' name, here we go. We're going to leave here now. We're going to be released from here. And may we know your presence and not just seek your provision, but know your presence on this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.